And you gotta have a signal to get the call, but the closer you get to a tower, the better the signal. And I want somebody to know, the closer you get to God, the clearer the signal in your life. And we're calling it unseen because it's the unseen power of God that can work in our lives. How many of you have been impacted by others, right? How many know we stand on someone else's shoulders? That somebody helped us to get where we are today. As a matter of fact, somebody put it like this. They said, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it had some help. Some of you get that at lunchtime, all right? But we drink from wells that we did not dig. That somebody went before us. Somebody was ahead of us that made it happen in our lives. Today I'd like to tell you about a lady who was over 100 years ago a powerful minister of the gospel of Jesus. Her name was Maria Woodworth Eder. And on the west side of Indianapolis, back in the early 1900s, okay, she would travel around and minister all over the place, but she kind of made the west side of Indianapolis her home community and established herself there. As a matter of fact, she went on to build a worship center, a tabernacle, and called it the Maria Woodworth Eder Tabernacle. It seated 500 people. And at the turn of the century, in the early 1900s, that was a big church. That was a really big church. And so she would travel around, and then she'd come back home, and she would minister, and God would do signs and wonders and miracles. As a matter of fact, they would store in a room of the tabernacle wheelchairs, crutches, walkers, canes, different things that people came in with, but by the time they left the service, they no longer needed the wheelchair. They no longer needed what they came in with, so they just left it there. And they left them there as a trophy to God. And so she moved in powerful ministry. And I was talking to my pastor about her just recently. We went to dinner, and my pastor turns 100 in July. And he was here in the first service, all right? It was so awesome. And I said, hey, you kind of just barely crossed paths with Maria Woodworth Eder, I think, when I was studying about her life some more. And he says, yes, she dedicated me to the Lord. She did my dedication. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how Tom Paino did my dedication. And how he did my water baptism, and he did my ordination into the ministry. He did our wedding. He dedicated our daughter when we were pastoring another church. He's done a little bit of everything in my life. And I was thinking about how the lineage, the legacy of anointing, the transfer of God's power, of God's blessing. And I was thinking about maybe even Crossroads Church wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for Maria Woodworth Eder and Tom Paino, for their lives, for their ministry. I'm so thankful for the people who have touched my life. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you had a teacher that inspired you. You weren't doing too well in school, and maybe you had things at home or whatever, but a teacher spoke life into you. I wonder if every teacher, every administrator, every volunteer, any person that has anything to do with the public or Christian schools or whatever in our community or wherever, will you just stand to your feet right now? Just come on, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Yeah, stand up. Come on, if you stay standing, come on. Give these people a big hand clap. So good for us to be able to partner with the schools all around us, like I said earlier. But I think about those who leave fingerprints on our souls, who have left an imprint. As a matter of fact, discipleship, I heard this the other day, discipleship is growing fruit on someone else's tree. Legacy is not what you accomplish, it's what other people accomplish because of you. Who does God want you to touch? You know, who has touched you, but now who should you touch? And think about it. If we would just, in a church of hundreds and hundreds of people, would just touch one person this year, our whole city, our whole community would be changed. I grew up hearing the words anointed and anointing. And maybe you haven't been privileged to hear that. It's in the Bible. It talks about it. I'll show you that in a moment. But what it is like the Holy Spirit is the X factor in your life. The Holy Spirit does what you can't do. As a matter of fact, anointing is the difference between what you can do and what God can do through you. The power of God working in your life. And how many believe we live in a nation that we need new anointing? We need fresh anointing. We need people who are anointed by the Spirit of the living God. So I'm going to look at a story today about a couple of prophets in 1 Kings chapter 19. Maybe this is an odd scripture to talk about two dudes in the Bible on Mother's Day, but we'll get there, all right? Elijah was a powerful prophet of God. But where we're going to pick up the story, he was sitting under a broom tree and he was contemplating about his life, and he had just defeated, absolutely annihilated, 450 prophets of Baal, a demonic god. And this great victory had happened because he could call fire down from heaven. When he prayed, the fire fell. And this prophet was used so mightily, but yet, when we pick up the story, he's on the run. He's running away from his life, and he's really running for his life, he believes. And he asked God to end it. Did you know that even prophets, even people used of God, can battle things? Don't put people on a pedestal too high, all right? Because some people battle things, and this prophet, he battled depression. As a matter of fact, he battled it so much that in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, here's what he says: "I have had enough, Lord." Have you ever said that? "I have had enough, Lord." Maybe that's how you said it. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." I want somebody to know today, and I was praying about this week. If you're here and you feel like your life has no meaning, it has no purpose, that the world would just be a better place without you, I want you to know that is a lie from the pit of hell, that your life does matter. It matters to me, it matters to others, and it matters to God. It matters to God, and God is not finished with you yet. And I know it gets tough. Maybe you're in that tough season, but I want you to know, in the crushing can come new wine. And in Elijah's life, that's exactly what happened. He's feeling like, as a matter of fact, he says it this way, I'm the only one left. I'm the only Christian in the world. I'm the only one. Have you ever sung this song, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, right? You know, have you ever had a party, but you were the only one there? It was a pity party, right? And so you had this pity party for yourself, and that's how he's feeling. And we can feel that way. And here's what God does. God shows up in his life, and he says this. He says, you need to eat and rest. How many didn't see that coming? Right? That doesn't sound like the most spiritual thing. Eat and take a nap. Somebody now is glad you came to church, right? Yeah. Oh, honey, that's what the Lord said to me, too. I got an agreement with that. But in this pressured situation, and pressure can come. As a matter of fact, if you've been in a 12-step recovery program, you probably heard of the acrostic HALT. And how that you need to avoid that in your lives. Here's what it stands for. It stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And here's what you learn in 12-step is when that happens, you're susceptible. You're susceptible. You could stumble and fall. You could go backwards instead of forward. That you need to watch. How many know when you're hangry, that's not a good time to make decisions, right? Not a good time. And so some of us, maybe today, I'll just say this real quick. Some of you maybe need to change your diet. The Lord spoke to this prophet. He says, you know, you need to take a nap. Some of you need to get better sleep. You need to be more active in resting. Did you know that the Lord put a Sabbath into the week? And some of you, you're not honoring the Sabbath. You're not resting each week. And I want you to know that resting and sleep is a spiritual issue. It really is, according to the Bible. It's a stewardship issue. And so some of you right here now, you just need to repent and say, Lord, I'll do better this week. Because no wonder some of you are kind of at wit's end. Your body cannot heal itself by the power that God put in it because you're not taking care of it. But God, I mean, oh, you're ready for me to move on right now, right? God, here in this passage, I want us to read it together, sets up a legacy anointing. There is a legacy anointing. There is a power that God wants to release into your life. And I want to say it like this over the next few minutes. I want to teach you a principle from God's word on how to multiply your life, how to make your life count in a bigger way. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15, we'll pick it up here. Here's the rest of the story. The Lord said to him, he says to Elijah, he after this battle with depression, after he tells him to take a nap, after he tells him to eat something, he says, now, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. How many are glad I worked on those names this week, right? How do you multiply your life? The first thing God says is remember what God has done. Remember what God has done in your life. One of the most powerful stories, and I'm sure you're at least familiar with it, is about David and Goliath. And the Bible says when David, here he is just a teenage boy, nobody else wants to fight this giant. And he says, I'll go fight him. He's defying the Lord. I'll go fight him. He shouldn't be defying the Lord. And he goes out there to face Goliath. And here's what he does. He remembers what the Lord has already done. He says, giant, I want you to know that there was a day when a bear came my way and I defeated the bear. There was a day when a lion came my way to try and chew on my lambs, and I defeated him. And he says, and I want you to know the same God that gave me the bear and that gave me the lion is going to give me you right here, right now. Oh, some of you need to go back. You need to go back in your mind. When did God speak to you before? When did God move in your life? When did you know that God was wooing you and calling you and working in your life? Go back to those times that God spoke to you. Oh, he speaks to us and he does miracles in our lives. You say, well, he hadn't done a miracle for me. Oh, if you were saved, if you came to Jesus and you said, would you wash away my past? Would you forgive me of all my guilt and all my shame? He did a miracle in your life and saved you. You didn't deserve it. You don't deserve to go to heaven, but he does it for you as a miracle of God. And you're, by the way, you're looking at a miracle of God today, because a few weeks ago, I left the first service a little earlier than I normally do by way of ambulance, okay? And I went to the hospital, and I was supposed to be there for 3 or 4 days. I was there barely 24 hours, fully recovered because of the power and touch of Almighty God. You're looking at a miracle. Don't tell me that God isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's plenty of you as well that God has touched. As a matter of fact, there's a person in the church that I had him in my prayer journal. I have this prayer journal. You ought to have one too, where you write down things. Maybe you write down things that God speaks to you, and then you also have a place where you speak to God. And you take him these needs and these requests. And I was looking at it the other day as I was getting ready to pray over it again. And I thought, well, that guy got healed. And he's sitting right here. I thought, that home was put back together. That person had a turnaround in their life. This person had a blessing that only God could have done in their life. And I was thinking about all the ways that the Lord had answered prayer and things like that. I'm telling you, if you'll keep a journal like that, God will do the same thing for you. He'll begin to do miracles in your life, and you'll look back and say, well, that one scratched that one off. He answered it already. See, you prepare yourself by thinking back. I was thinking back how I used to drive from southern Missouri. Okay, that's how they say it down there. Missouri, I think is how they say it. That's where I went to college, and I used to drive back to Indy to home at breaks and things like that. And there would be times, many times, that I would come towards St. Louis, and how many know there's a few highway signs in St. Louis, right? Easy to get off on the wrong road if you're not careful, but I would notice the sign that said Indianapolis, Interstate 70. And as I would see that sign, and as a young man in school, I said, Lord, I'll serve you anywhere. I'll go to Africa, I'll go to Asia, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Just use me, Lord. But if you would, I would love to go back to my hometown. I would love to go back where I was reared. I would love to go back to my heritage, and I'd love to do a work for you there. And you know what? 17 years later, God called Rochelle and I and our family to Avon, Indiana, to come back to this community, to raise up this church, and to see God do a work. I don't know what you're praying for, and it may take 17 years or it may take 17 days. I just know if you'll look back, you'll see what the Lord has done in your life. You will see it. A.W. Tozer said it like this: anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is able. He is mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver. His arm is not short. His ear is not deaf. He can move today just like he's always done. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, greater things than these you've seen me do, you will do as you go in my name. Why don't you just believe God for what he can do in your life? What would happen if all of us decided this week we're going to do things that only God could do that? Where people would say, I love it when people have said to me, I had a nurse that told me, I've been a nurse for decades, and I want you to know that what happened to you doesn't just happen. She said that with tears in her eyes, she says, I've been a nurse, I've seen all these people, and I just want you to know that what happened to you, only God could have done in your life. And I want somebody to know today that God wants to use your life so that your friends, your neighbors say, that had to be God, because my brother-in-law isn't that smart, okay? My friend, he's just not that sharp to be that successful or whatever. It has to be the Lord. See, God wants to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants them to be active in each and every one of our lives, not just a few of us. And if you're depressed today, if you battle depression in your life, I want you to know from the prophet, focusing on yourself is not the solution. Because he was focused on himself. As a matter of fact, he said to God, God, I'm the only one saved. I'm the only one on the whole planet that loves you. And God said, wrong. I've got tons of people who bow their knee to me. I've got tons, Elijah. It's not about you, Elijah. You're making your life too small. So what I want you to do, I want you to go back. I want you to revisit things. And I want you to spread this anointing in other people. You see, the anointing is in us and it's on us, but it's not just for us. We are anointed to anoint. We're anointed to anoint. I love to watch the anointing of the Holy Spirit go throughout our church. I could talk about a lot of different people, but I'm just going to pick one. I think about Kathy Unsell in our church. It's Mother's Day, and I just think about Kathy. She's like a spiritual mom around here, and she's been here since the very beginning of this church. And here's what she does every week. She'll come to both services. She'll come so she can be here in time to lay hands on people as a prayer partner, to pray over them, to pray with them in the first service, and then do it all over again in the second service. She has impacted and influenced so many people in this church for God because of the sharing of the anointing of God on her life. And Kathy's right over here. Would you give her a big hand today? See, we share the anointing. That's the reason why you ought to get in a life group. Because in the life group, You may have thought, well, I don't even know if I want to go tonight. And then you go, and somebody shares their anointing with you. Somebody shares something with you, and it's life-giving. And you're like, oh, man, I'm so glad I didn't just stay home. I'm so glad I made the effort to be here. And then there'll be another week where all of a sudden something happens and you're able to share an anointing with somebody else. You're able to say something into their life, speak life into them, and you find them later saying, oh, you made my day. You encouraged me so much. You made such a difference in my life. I'm telling you, that's what you were born for. That's the purpose of God in your life, that anointing. See, it happens every week while we're meeting in here in the nursery. Hey, they're not just babysitting back there. They're praying over those babies. God, I don't know who I'm holding today. It may be the next Billy Graham. It may be the next Maria Woodworth Etter. I don't know who this is today, but what I do know is, Lord, you have a purpose. You have a plan for their life. Oh, don't think it's just a little thing to serve in our kids' ministry. I'm telling you, we're raising up kids that'll be champions for Jesus today, all the way through to the elementary age. Come on, somebody. They're going to change the world. Oh, and I think about how God is raising up prophets in CSM, in our student ministry. Young men and women who will not bend, who will not bow, who will not burn, if you know what I'm talking about. That they just say, hey, while the volume of the culture gets louder, and people call wrong right, and people get all confused. My God is not the author of confusion. If you have confusion, it didn't come from God. It came from somewhere else. And God wants to help you to get straight thinking, to get your mind back. He isn't giving you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And these champions are going to be used of the Lord to speak into this culture and speak into this next generation in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many believe that? Come on. So if you're not busy somewhere else, volunteer in kids' ministry, in student ministry, get in a life group, because it's life-giving to others around. Listen, also, here's the next thing, is you got to answer the call. You got to answer the call. Here's what it says in verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And watch, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. What that means is, like, I'm anointing you. I'm putting a call on your life. I want you to answer this call. I want to ask you today, who are you putting your cloak around, so to speak? Who are you bringing along? Now, Elisha had to have a plan. I'm sure he thought, hey, I'm a successful businessman. I'm a successful farmer. Look at all this I've got. And I'll have a wife, and I can see kids in my future, and we'll have a nice house, and it's going to be a good life. And then the prophet showed up and changed everything. Not that that would have been a bad plan that Elisha had. It's just God had a different plan for his life. God had something else. And how many know you got to have the signal to get a call? Yesterday, my wife and I were driving around and run some errands and couldn't get a signal. I'm telling you, I was ready to throw the phone right out of the car. You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me on that? This thing can be the most aggravating thing in my life. And so it wasn't working right. You know, I don't know. I figured the whole internet is down or something. And so it was worthless. And you got to have a signal to get the call. But the closer you get to a tower, the better the signal. And I want somebody to know, the closer you get to God, the clearer the signal in your life. That's the reason why you ought to be here every Sunday, so you can get the signal. That's the reason why you ought to be here for the 21 days of prayer. It's so good, we don't do it once a year, we do it twice a year, because we want to take 42 days of the year and just put them before the Lord in extra meetings and extra efforts of prayer to get connected to the living God. That's the reason why we're doing night of worship this Wednesday night. You ought to be here. I don't know what you thought you were going to do, but you're going to be here Wednesday night, right? And God's going to speak to us. You are not here by accident. You are here by divine design. You are here made for a purpose. You are here beautifully made by a creator God who formed you, who fashioned you, special, unique. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. And then here's the next thing you got to do. Remember what God's done. Answer the call. And seek the anointing. You got to seek anointing. Look at this. It's kind of a large portion of scripture, but I'll read it real quick. Here's what it says in 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." Notice that. So they went down to Bethel, and the company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know, so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. And the company of the prophets of Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know, so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, watch this, "Tell me, what can I do for you?" He's been following this guy for a long time. He says, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire, how many saw the movie? And horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. He was gone. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. "Oh my gosh, my master's gone." And then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan, and he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And the company of the prophets of Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha, and they went to him and bowed to the ground before him. I want you to know that there's a legacy anointing. Here's what Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said. How many know I had some names to pronounce today, right? Treat a person as they are, and they will remain so. Treat a person the way that person can be and is capable of being, and that person will become as he or she can be and should be. How many know some people spoke life into you, right? Cancel culture puts people down, but the church is here to lift people up. Come on, to lift people up. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Moms, how many of you today need the invisible power of God? You need the touch of God on your life. Maybe you had a rough week. Maybe you've had a rough year. I don't know what it's looked like for you, but if you're a mom or a mom figure in this place, you're a grandma, grandpa, grandma, I should say, don't, grandpa, stay seated, all right? But ladies, if you're here today and you say, oh, if there's a legacy anointing, if there's a double portion, I need it in my life. Would you stand up right now? I'm going to pray a blessing right here in the middle of this message. I'm just going to pray over you today. You had a rough week. You've had some, your grandkids or something else, all right? I don't know what it looks like for you, but I want to pray over you right now. Will you receive a double blessing today? Father in heaven, I thank you that there is a double blessing. Because these ladies have come to church today and they're standing here today, you can touch them as only you can. And I pray the mighty power of the Holy Spirit all over them. I ask you, Lord, we can't hardly explain it all. We just know when it's there. We know when you're in our lives. We know when you're speaking to us. And Lord, some of these ladies here today, they need it. They need it, God. And so would you pour your spirit out? Would you download something into them today that only comes from you? May the same kind of power that moved on Maria Woodworth Etter, may it move in this church today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give these people, these ladies, a big hand. Here's the thing. I'm getting ready to close, all right? When Elisha was asked, what do you want me to do? He didn't say, I'd like a double salary. I'd like a double chariot. I'd like twice as big a house. No. When he was asked, what would you like more than anything else? He says, oh, I want a double anointing. I want a double portion. And it's interesting because the first miracle that Elisha does is the last miracle that Elijah did before he was taken up into heaven. And Elijah, check this out, you can count them. He did 14 recorded miracles in Scripture. Guess how many Elisha did? 28. Two times. But it's not to the glory of Elisha. It's to the glory of Elijah, who passed the torch, who set things in motion, who started this whole movement of God. It was a legacy anointing. And I just want you to know today, you can't tell my story without including Maria Woodworth Etter and Tom Paino. You can't tell my story, but what you have to tell that story, because those folks came along before me and set the stage for anything and everything that's happening at this church. You see, this is how it works. One more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Maybe you've never read this one. It's the last letter Paul writes before he's martyred. And in his last words, he speaks to Timothy, and he says, I am reminded, I remember, of your sincere faith. Notice this. It first lived in your grandmother Lois. Oh, I remember Lois, Paul says. The Spirit was in Lois. And then he says, and then I saw it transfer. I saw Eunice, your mom. She had the Spirit. And he says, and now I'm convinced it now lives in you also. It lives in you now. Oh, church, may the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit, a legacy Spirit, come alive in this church to not just impact this generation, but the generations that are yet to come. May it be so as we gather together today. Who can say a big amen, right? Father, we believe that you want to loose an anointing like we've never experienced before. Lord, in these last days, you want to pour your Spirit out. You want to touch a new generation. And God, some of us here today might think, I'm not enough. I battle depression, or I battle this, or I battle that. But Lord, even Elijah, in all of his battles, he was used of you in a powerful way. And one of the greatest things of his life was transferring the anointing to the next generation. And so, God, I pray over every grandpa, every grandma, every mom, every dad, every uncle, every aunt, every teacher, every leader, every boss, every person in this church, that you would raise up a legacy anointing. If you're here today and you say, oh, Pastor Craig, I need more anointing. I may not understand it all, but what I do understand is I need more of God in my life. I need the anointing. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life greater than ever before. If that's you, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Yeah, just raise it up, church. Come on, let's get in on this. Father in heaven, loose your anointing on every person. God, for the dad that feels like I'm not enough, that feels like you should have given these kids to somebody else, but Lord, in your sovereignty, you put them under our care. In your sovereignty, we're the mom, we're the dad. In your sovereignty, we were born into this household. And so, Lord, there must be something that you want us to do. And so, Lord, may we be not just anointed, but anointed to anoint, to spread it out, to touch somebody else with our life. And so, God, for some of us, that may be we need to get busy. We need to get active. We need to join the dream team. We need to start volunteering in nursery or kids ministry or student ministry or somewhere in the church. We need to get in a life group and start pouring our lives out to other people as they pour into us. God, whatever that means, help us to do it. While we're still praying, there could be others that maybe you say, Craig, when you talk, it's kind of like you know God. It's like you must know him, that you have conversations with him. And I want you to know, in a way, I do. I've never heard the audible voice of God to my knowledge, but I've heard him in my spirit. I've heard him very clearly speaking to me. I've heard him on numerous occasions speak into my life. Sometimes it's through a song. Sometimes it's when I'm reading scripture. And sometimes it's when I'm in a small group with people. But he does speak. And if you're here today and you've never heard his voice, if you say, Craig, I don't know why I feel alone. I don't feel connected to God. Maybe it's because you aren't. Respectfully, I just want to say, maybe you're not. Because I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm talking about being connected to the living God. And if you're here today and that's not happened for you, maybe it's because you need to just invite him in to your life, and I want to help you to do that. So if that's you, would you just raise a hand and say, yeah, oh, that's me today. I'm inviting him into my life. Hands, come on, all over this room, online. Type the word decided in the chat, and we're going to be praying for you as well. Come on, everybody pray this prayer after me so those who raise their hands will have the faith to pray it out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe he paid for all my sin so that I can be forgiven. And as of this moment, I make Jesus Lord of my life to be my Savior. As much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Fill me with your Spirit to give me power to live each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate, church. All those who made a commitment, so awesome. Listen, you can text some words right from where you are to take a next step, whatever that might be. These words will help you if you need baptism or whatever that is. You just text that and we'll follow up with you. But also, if you're in the house today, the advantage for you is you can just go right across the hall and we have a next steps room and you can just go over there and talk to a human, okay? Anybody know how to do that? Just talk to a human and they'll be glad to help you. Hey, I want us to stand to our feet. Prayer partners, come on down. Hey, if you need prayer for any reason, these prayer partners are here to agree with you, believe God for you, to touch heaven for you. And if you've got any situation that you say it needs prayer, then come on down as I conclude this service with a prayer. But the rest of you can feel free to worship or listen here this week. Let's take that anointing outside these walls. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Oh, we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. Holy Spirit, draw every person down for prayer that needs prayer today. And may they receive from you that which only you can give. God, for the rest of us, help us to take a legacy anointing out of this place to touch somebody else with you that's touched us. And we believe for it in Jesus' name.